Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Lamed Gimel. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored L'Zechus Refor Shalema for Rabbi Kalmer Shlita Yehuda Ben Rivka Leah by a lifelong Talmud. It's also sponsored by Jeremy Lustman in honor of his grandmother Goldie Cantor, whose 96th birthday is Baruch Hashem today. Wow, happy birthday. And by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer Li'ili Nishmas, his mother, Henny Bruckheimer, Rachel Bas Yisachar, whose yard site was Yud Gimel Teves this past Monday, Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. There are three topics on today's daf. We're going to pick up again, even though we read a little bit past it. We're going to go back to Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and we're going to pick up again from the Afraf Papa Hadar Bay. First written line is Bo Kazayis, about 10 lines before the lines get wide. The Afraf Papa Hadar Bay. There are three topics. First topic is we're going to have three different interpretations of the Braisa that seems to change its mind. The Braisa that we read at the end of the shiur yesterday, but we're going to read again today, that seems to change its mind. It seems to vacillate back and forth whether it's considered, whether Chiyuvei Karis are considered more Chamor than Chiyuvei Misa Bidei Shemayim, more particularly Mi'ila, which is Misa Bidei Shemayim. So which is more Chamor, Karis or Misa Bidei Shemayim? So we're going to have to try to figure out why the Braisa gives indications in both directions. Then the Gemara is going to give two explanations of the source that chametz cannot become truma on Pesach, meaning we're going to say, or we already mentioned yesterday, but we're going to bring it up again, that if you have something that is, if you have truma before Pesach, that's chametz, so good, so that's how you can have truma, that's chametz on Pesach. But if you have chametz on Pesach, you cannot be mafresh truma from chametz on Pesach. It doesn't work. Kedushas truma is not going to be chal on chametz on Pesach, and the Gemara is going to give two explanations of where we know that from, and there's going to be a huge nafkamina between those two explanations. And then the Gemara is going to discuss whether there's any way to draw tahor wine out of tameh grapes, and we're going to use part of the brisa from Daf Lamed Beis to try to prove one opinion of that machlokas. Meaning, if you have tameh grapes, does that automatically mean that any wine that you squeeze out of those grapes is already tameh? So there's nothing you could do about it. Or do we assume, no, the wine is a separate entity from the grapes. The grapes may be tameh, but there may be a way to draw wine out of those grapes that will not be tameh. So let's go back to the Afraf Papa Hadar Bay. Again, a number of lines, about 8 to 10 lines before the lines get wide on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So what we had yesterday was we had a machlokas when it comes to truma. What is the shear of a zar sha'achal truma that he's going to be chayev for? Is the shear a kezayis because it's a lashon of achila, or is the shear of a shavapruta because it's a lashon of nesina, and nesina is always a shavapruta? So we had said that Abba Shaul holds that the shear is a shavapruta, and then Rav Papa had commented, no, when Abba Shaul says the shear is a shavapruta, he means it needs to be both. In order for a zar to be chayev, it needs to be both a kezayis and the shavapruta, but not just shavapruta, it needs kezayis as well. So the Gemara tells us that Rav Papa changed his mind. He does not learn Abba Shaul that way, and we're going to quote this long brisa, and everything we're going to discuss in today's daf is a discussion of this brisa, and the whole purpose of bringing this brisa is to show that Rav Papa Hadarbe, that Rav Papa changed his mind in his view of Abba Shaul, and that he no longer thinks that Abba Shaul requires both shavapruta and kezayis. So, but it's going to take a while to get there. So Afra Papa Hadarbe. So our Papa changed his mind. Ditanya, based on the following Braisa. The Braisa tells us V'chata Bishkaga Prat L'mezid. The Braisa talks about someone who violates Mi'ila. So someone who's Mol Behegdish is chayiv to bring a carbon Hashem Mi'ilos. And it's from the fact that it says V'chata Bishkaga that tells us that if a person does Mi'ila B'mezid, he doesn't bring a carbon. If he purposely enjoys or benefits from Hegdish, he does not bring a carbon. So V'alo Dinu, and it's Kal V'chomer that he should be potter from a carbon. Umash shar mitzvos by all other mitzvos, I say, like eating chaylev and eating dam and all those other mitzvos that are chamuros, shechayev ben kares, even those mitzvos that are so chamur that chayev kares, potter ben es amezid, if you do it b'mezid, you don't have to bring a carbon, even if you do it b'shogeg, even though if you do it b'shogeg, you do have to bring a carbon, but when you do it b'mezid, you don't have to bring a carbon. So mi'ila, which is less chamur than the yisuri kares, shein b'kares, because there's no kares, it's only misa b'dei Shema, Shamayim. Einu din shapatar asamezid. So for sure, if you do it bemezid, you should not have to bring a carbon. So you see very clearly the Brice is setting up that kares is more severe than me'ila. Me'ila is misa b'dei shamayim. Kares is more severe than misa b'dei shamayim, because otherwise you don't have a kal v'chomer. If even by the more severe kares, you don't bring a carbon bemezid, by the less severe me'ila, which is misa b'dei shamayim, of course you're not going to bring a carbon bemezid. So the Brice rejects it, still in the Brice. Lo, no, it's not a good kal v'chomer. And Mamarta b'shar mitzvos, you're going to talk about other mitzvos that don't have a carbon bemezid, shekein lo chiyev ben misa, because the isurei kares aren't so strict. There's no misa b'dei shamayim by isurei kares. Tomer b'mi'ila shchiyev b'misa, but mi'ila has misa b'dei shamayim, so mi'ila is more chamur than isurei kares. So tam lomer b'shkagar prat l'mezid. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me that there's no carbon for mi'ila, because I would have thought there is a carbon. I can't derive from a kal v'chom from kares, because in a certain sense mi'ila is more chamur than kares. So there's the stira right there. The Brisa starts off by just assuming that kares is more chamur than mi'ila, and then the Brisa says, no, mi'ila is more chamur than kares, because karesus don't get misa b'dei shamayim. So now the Gemara deals with that stira. V'amalei v'nachem ritzel r'chia baravin, haitana me'ikara alimalei kares, l'besof alimalei misa. It starts off by saying that kares is more chamur than misa, and then it shifts and tells me misa is more chamur than kares. So v'amalei hachi kamar, r'chia baravin answers that what the Tana means to say is, of course kares is more chamur than misa b'dei shamayim, lo mamarta b'shar mitzvos. What the Brisa means to say is you can't learn mi'ila from other yisurim, from yisuri kares in the kal v'chomer, because there is one sad that mi'ila is more chamer than them in, and that is that in marta b'shar mitzvos, by other mitzvos that don't have a carbon, if you do them b'mezid, shekein lo chiyev ben misa b'pachs mikazayis. We're not saying that misa b'nei shamayim is more chamer than kares. We're saying that mi'ila has a chumra that chiyev krisus don't have, and that is that you could violate mi'ila with even pachs mikazayis. Tomer b'mi'ila shechiyev b'misa pachs mikazayis. All the chiyev krisus achilas dam achilas chelev. You're only chayiv if you eat the kazayis, because those are all isurei achila. When it comes to mi'ila, even b'pachas mi'kazayis, that's the chumra. That's why I can't derive mi'ila from a kal v'chomer from kares. So if Nachum Yitzchak says from Chiyav Ravid, oh, now I can sleep at night. So first, why does he have to say that? You know, so that tells us a lesson that you should lose sleep at night when you have a kasher, right? So now I can sleep at night. Now I can relax. So v'amalei. Rav Chiya Rav said back to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, I don't know why you're so happy with my answer. Why is that such a great answer? Rav Sheshes Sadu Benarga. You should know, Rav and Rav Sheshes pointed out that the answer is pretty terrible. Why? Man Shamatle, Da'amar, who's the Shita that holds Zamar Hezid B'Mila Misa? Who's the Shita that holds that if someone violates Mi'ila B'Mezid, so the Chiyav is Misa B'Dei Shemayim? Rebihi, that's the Shita of Rebbe, which means that the author of this Brisa is Rebbe. So if we're going to suggest this answer that mi'ila can be violated even b'pachas mikazayis, we have to say that Rebbe holds mi'ila can be violated b'pachas mikazayis, because it's only Rebbe that says that he's in b'mi'ila is b'misa that yichayv misa b'dei shamayim when you do mi'ila b'mezid. How do I know it's only Rebbe? D'tanya, because we have another brisa. He's in b'mi'ila. If a person did mi'ila b'mezid, Rebbe yomer b'misa. Rebbe says yichayv misa b'dei shamayim. L'cham momrim ba'asara. L'cham say it's only a regular losa say. You violate this in the Torah, you get malchus, but there's no misa b'dei shamayim. So if Rebbe is the author of the Brisa, what's the reason for Rebbe? Am Rabbi Avo, Gomer Chet Chet Mitruma. It's Gzer Shava that the Torah tells us by Truma, Vishamros Mishmarti Vila Yisrael of Chet, Umesubo Kir Chaluhu, and it says by Mila Nevshki Sivu Ma'al, Vichata Bishkagu Mikachi Hashem. So from the fact that the word Chet appears in both Psukim, we learn one from the other. So Ma Truma Bemisa, Av Mila Bemisa, Av Mi'ila Bemisa, just like Truma. The onesh is misa because it says umesu bo. So meila is also misa b'dei shemayim. Umina, but from that very same gezeirah shava we learn matrum b'gzayis af meila b'gzayis. That just like truma v'zari eats truma, he's only chayv if he eats gzayis. Meila is also only if he eats gzayis. So why are you so happy with my answer? Why can you sleep at night? Because I told you that no meila, according to this brisa, meila has a chumra because you could violate b'pachas mi'gzayis. No, because this brisa is telling me that there's misa b'dei Deshmayim on Mi'ila, which means that it's Rebbe, and Rebbe holds that Mi'ila can only be violated B'Kazayis. It doesn't have that Chumrah of Pachas M'Kazayis. So don't accept my answer that we could touch up this price so that the Chumrah of Mi'ila is Pachas M'Kazayis. Not true according to Rebbe. It needs to be a Kazayis. So but notice that Rebbe had said that how do I know Mi'ila has to be a Kazayis? Mi'ila has to be a Kazayis because we learned it from Truma. That was our discussion, right? This whole discussion started. What is the shear for a Zar who eats Truma? Is it Kazayis or is it Shavapruta? So right now we're saying that just like it's clear that by Truma the shear is Kazayis, so to Mi'ila the shear is a Kazayis. So Mask for a Papa. So a Papa says, my dear Rebbe Krabban and Svirulei, how do you know that Rebbe holds like the Shita of the Chacham that the shear for Chiyuv Achilas Truma is B'Kazayis, where you then say, oh, once I'm connecting Mi'ila to Truma, if Truma is a Kazayis, Mi'ila is also a Kazayis. Nah, Dilma Kabashol Svirulei. Damer Yesh Vashav Prutaf Gavdalas B'Kazayis. Maybe we're assuming like Abishol that the shear of Achilas Truma for Zaruit Truma is not Kazayis, it's Shavapruta. Ooh, who's the one talking over here that says that Abishol holds it has nothing to do with Kazayis, it's only Shavapruta? Rav Papa. So Rav Papa is the one that wanted to tell us yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf. The Rav Papa is the one that wanted to tell us that Abba Shaul, who says that the Shir is Shavapruta, holds that the Shir is both Shavapruta and Kazayis. Here's the raya that Rav Papa changed his mind. Because Rav Papa is now telling us that don't worry about the dechia of Rabba and Rav Sheshes. You can accept the answer we originally gave, that Mi'ila can be Pepachas Mi'Kazayis, Ali B'Dabba Shaul, because Abba Shaul maybe does not require a Kazayis, even for Truma. He only requires Shavapruta. So you see that it's Shavapruta Dafka. So that's the point the Gemara makes. So Rav Papa Udamar, Dabba Shaul, Tartabai, El Shmaimina Hadabai. Isn't Rav Papa the one that said that Abba Shaul required both a Kazayis and the Shavapruta? Exactly. And now you see that Rav Papa changed his mind, that he himself backed out of that position and holds that Rav Shaul is only concerned about a Shavapruta and is not concerned about a Kazayis at all. But once we brought that brisa, again, the whole point of that brisa was just to show that Rav Papa changed his mind. Once we brought the brisa, we're going to delve into that brisa, and the whole rest of the daf is going to be delving into that brisa. So what did the brisa say? Lo mamart b'shar mitzvah shekein luchiyah ben misa, tomer b'mila shekhiyah. I can't learn Mi'ila as a Kal V'Chomer from Chiyuve Kares because Mi'ila is a Chiyuv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. So we were bothered. Wait a second. Misa B'Dei Shemayim is not more Chomer than Kares. So we said, no, Mi'ila has this one Chomer that it even applies to Pachas Mi'Kazayis. Marbrei Ravina Amar Hachi Kamer. He says a different interpretation of why it is that we're rejecting the Kal V'Chomer that Mi'ila in some ways is more Chomer than Chiyuve Kares. Lo, when it comes to other chiyuve kares, to other misos, to other chiyuve kares, we do not treat a davar shein miskavin like a davar miskavin. If you decide, if you want to pick up a fruit on Shabbos and you assume that that fruit is no longer attached to the ground, and you made a mistake and you accidentally picked up a fruit that was attached to the ground and you ripped it right out of the ground, you're pater from bringing a korban chatos in such a case, for the malacha of kotzer. So tomar b'mi'ila, but a parallel case by mi'ila, she'im niskavin l'schavim b'gizei chulin v'niskavim b'gizei ola. If you intended to warm yourself with wool shearings of chulin, and instead you warmed yourself with wool shearings of a carbon ola, so shema'al, that would still be a violation of mi'ila, even though it would say no miskavin at all. So you see that that's the chumrah that mi'ila has. It's not about the shear of a kazayis or pachas mi'kazayis. That was the first approach that we had. Maybe the chumrah of Mi'ila is the fact that it applies even be'in a miskavin. Or, alternatively, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Hachi Kamar Lo Imamar to Bishar Mitzvos Shekein Lo Mischayev Ben She'in Misasek Kimisasek. By other mitzvos, if you do something as a misasek ba'alma, you don't even realize that you had done the action at all. See, it's one thing if you pick up a fruit, you realize you're picking up a fruit. You just didn't realize that it was attached to the ground. But sometimes you don't even realize you're doing the action at all. It's even less than an in a miskavin. And by all other chiyuve kares, we don't treat him as asek as if you violated the aver shem niskavin lagbias hatalush the chotach as a mechubar. If all you wanted to do is to pick up that which is talush and you ended up being chotech that which is mechubar shapater, you're pater from a carbon chatos. So tomer b'mi'ila shem hoshed yadu l'kli litol chayfetz v'sach yadu b'shemen shel kodesh shema'al. If let's say you stick your hand into a kli because you're trying to retrieve something from that kli and there happens to be shemen in that kli, so your hand gets anointed with shemen Shemen of Kodesh, so that's totally misasik. You weren't even thinking about anointing your hand with the Shemen Shel Kodesh. So even so, it's still going to be a violation of Mi'ila. So you see from there that Mi'ila has that Chumrah, that it even applies by misasik. So at the end of the day, we had a Brisa that seemed to go back and forth. Is Mi'ila more Chumrah than Kares, or is Kares more Chumrah than Mi'ila? So we suggested, of course, Kares is more Chumrah than Misa V'Dei Shemayim in general, but there may be something about Mi'ila that makes it more Chumrah than eating Chelev and Dam and all the Yisurei Kares. Three possibilities of what that thing is. Either that Mi'ila is even Bepachos Mikazais, because we derive it from Chuma, or that Mi'ila applies even Be'eno Miskaven, or that Mi'ila applies even B'Misasek. Period. That's the first discussion of the Daf. Amar Mar. Now we still go back to that Brisa for another discussion. B'Medvar Mamurim, oh, not that Brisa, but a different Brisa. B'Mafresh Chuma, that we learned yesterday. B'Mafresh Chuma V'Chmitza. That when do we say that if a Zar eats Chumas Chametz on Pesach B'Shogeg, that he has to pay a Keren V'Chmitza? That if a non-Kohen eats Trumas Chametz, that it's considered that he ate Chametz that actually has Kedushas Truma, and therefore he has to pay back 125% of what he ate, that's only B'mafresh Truma V'chmitza. Your Mafresh Truma that was not Chametz, and then it became Chametz. Aval Hifresh Chametz Truma Devar Kalein Kedusha. But if you have something that's already Chametz, and then you try to be Mafresh Truma from that which is already Chametz, it can't have Kedushas Truma if it's already Chametz. So Minan Emili, how do I know that that's true? That something that's Chametz cannot have Kedushas Truma? Amram Nachmitza Gamar Kra Titen La Velo Le'uro. That's right, not La'oro, Le'uro, to the fire. That the or would be light, or would be fire. Someone always emails me every time I say Velo Le'uro that I mispronounce it. So Lo Velo Le'uro, that when you give the Kohen the Truma, you're supposed to give him Truma that he can use, that he can eat, not Truma that he's going to have to burn in a fire. So since it's Chametz, he's going to have to burn it. He's not allowed to keep it anyway. So therefore, it's an invalid Truma. It doesn't count as Truma to begin with, because the halach of Truma is that it's titin lo, but if you're only giving it to him and he's going to have to throw it into the fire, then that's not considered a valid truma. So Masav Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Ein Tarmin Minat Tamea La Tahora. So we ask, so wait a second, the Mishnah tells us in the second paragraph of Maseches Trumos, you're not allowed to be Mafresh Truma Tamea to cover produce that's Tahora. V'im Taram B'Shogeg Trumas or Truma, but if you did, then it does count as Truma, meaning you could be Mafresh Truma Tamea, and it counts. Kedusha is going to be chal even on Truma Tameya. What can the Kohen do with Truma Tameya? Amai, lema lova lo le'uro. All the Kohen can do with Truma Tameya is burn it. But I thought you just told me that anything that the Kohen is automatically going to have to burn is not going to have Kedusha's Truma. So how come? So I understand. That would explain why you can't have Kedusha's Truma on Chametz on Pesach. But how then can you have Kedusha's Truma on Truma Tameya? The Kohen is going to have to burn Truma Tameya as well, says Marlo Kasha. Hasam haysalo shasa kosher. At least by Truma Tameya, it once wasn't Tameya. It once had a shasa kosher, and since it wasn't always tamei, it can be truma now, even though right now it's tamei. But hacha lo haisalo shasa kosher. But over here by chametz, we're talking about that it never had a shasa kosher. There was never a moment that this grain was not chametz. V'lo haisalo shasa kosher heichidami. What do you mean that it didn't have a shasa kosher when it grew in the ground? It wasn't chametz yet. It couldn't have been chametz always. As soon as you harvested it, it wasn't chametz. Only when you ground it into flour, then it came in contact with water, it took 18 minutes, then it became chametz. What do you mean that it never had a shasa kosher? How could you say such a thing? Says the Gemara, an unbelievable chiddush. Kigonda achmitz b'mechubar. You could have such a concept of chametz while it's still mechubar l'karka. You have wheat growing from the ground, and while the wheat is growing from the ground, it's already chametz while it's growing from the ground. And therefore, with such wheat, it was lo haisalo shasa kosher. And that's what we're talking about. That's what you're not allowed to be mafresh truma from. But in a chinami, according to this daya, you could be mafresh truma from a loaf of bread that on Pesach, because at least that loaf of bread wasn't always chametz, because the wheat that it was gotten from was not chametz. It's only the kind of wheat that becomes chametz while it's still attached to the ground. So aval achmitz betalush hachinami dekatsha. But if you were machmitz, but it became chametz after you already detach it from the ground, like almost always that things become chametz only after you detach it from the ground, then ain't a chinami. It does become kadosh with kedushas truma. So Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, "In that's exactly right." Begzeris here in Pitkuma b'Maimer Kaddish and Sheilta, that these things were nigzar al yedei the malachim, the holy malachim, which means who's he talking about? The holy malachim. So Rashi explains that's a reference to Talmidei Chachamim, that the Talmidei Chachamim in a number of Messiah Tosaftis, Mesachs Kiddush, Mesachs Nedarim. We compare Talmidei Chacham to Malachi Asharis. Rashi Mesachs Kiddush writes that they dress like Malachi Asharis. Malachi Asharis are assumed to be white. White is assumed to be the color of Malachi Asharis. The clothing is white. So Talmidei Chacham used to wear these white, robes or white clothing. Nowadays you don't have like that so much. But Talmidei Chacham used to wear so that's why they were referred to as Malachi Asharis. I thought the Pashtus was not based on the clothing, but based on what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chagiga and Maseches Moed Katan, that im doma rav l'malach Hashem, so yivakish Torah mipiv. But if the rav is not doma l'malach Hashem, al yivakish Torah mipiv. That the Rebbe should not, that he dresses like a malach, but the Rebbe should behave like a malach. That if he acts in such a way that's like a malach Hashem, so then that's a person that you want to learn Torah from. But if he doesn't behave in a way that's like a malach Hashem, then even if he's a very great Talmud Chacham, then you shouldn't learn Torah from him. Oh, tonight is Nittel. There's a vart, they say. That why is it that that people don't learn on Nittel Nacht? So I once saw someone said a vart that what we're trying to show is that Yeshua Notzri was a Talmud Rabbi Shimon Prachya. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He really was successful in learning. So we're trying to show Lo HaMedrashu Iker Ela Maisa, that sometimes you can have a person who's a big Talmud Chacham, but it's not only Lo HaMedrashu Iker Ela Maisa. He's got to behave like a Talmud Chacham also in order to be Mevakish Mipiv. So we take one night off where we focus on Maisa, where instead of focusing on learning, every other night we focus on learning, we should focus on Maisa to show that Lo HaMedrashu Iker Ela Maisa. Okay, nice idea. So, Dafyomi coincidence, right? So the Talmud Chacham should be Mevakish Torah Mipiv. I don't know if you ever mentioned Rav Shechter told us that, maybe I did mention, Rav Shechter told us that Rav Pam was Maspid his father-in-law. Rav Shechter's father-in-law was a Rebbe in Torah Vidas. And when Rav Pam was Maspid his father-in-law, he said that maybe Pshat is that the Rebbe should be like a Malach Hashem. Maybe the Pshat means that a Malachim are described by the Navi as being Omdim, whereas people are Mahalchim. Malachim are Omdim. So he said that a Rebbe very often he teaches the same thing 500 times. So by the time he's a 7th grade Rebbe has taught Makos every year or an 8th grade Rebbe every year for the last 30 years. So he's enticed to want to teach on the level that he's at now. He's learned it so many times. He wants to just pick up from where he left off. So a Rebbe has to be an Omed. He can't advance. He's got to go back to the basics, and he's got to start from the very beginning each time. So if the Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem, that he's Omed in one place, and that he's willing to teach on the level of the Talmidim, then you should be Mevakish Torah Mipiv. That's what Rav Pam said about Rav Shechter's father-in-law, that he was a big Talmud Chacham, but he always was willing to explain the basics. Always start at the beginning of the sugya. Rav Shechter all the time would do like that in Shir. Like when he saw the look on our faces, like we're a little lost, he would say, okay, let's start again. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in 6 days. That's how he always started. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in 6 days. And then, and one of the things he created is Maseches Kiddushin. And, then he would go from there. So the Gemara says that, that's such a great answer. What do you mean such a great answer? Things can become chametz when they're mechubel lekarka? You have such a thing that it can become chametz when it's mechubel lekarka? Apparently, yes. The Rashba writes in a tshuva that it's only if it's total, if the grain totally dries out, well, it's still mechubar l'karka, and therefore it's not being yonek min hakarka anymore. So if the grain is totally dried out, the sun has totally dried out the grain, while it's still mechubar l'karka, then it has the capacity to become chametz, and we pask in this way in Shulchan Aruch and Simtav Samach Zayin Sif Hei. The Ram Chalava writes that we're talking about that there was so much rain that pounded on this grain that it cracked the grain, and if it cracks the grain, that once it has cracks in it, that's when it can become chametz. The Meiri says something very similar. So the Mishabura over there in the Tav Samach Zayin, Sivkat Nilches, quotes a number of Achronim that it only becomes chametz if it was Geshamim Merubim, if there was a tremendous amount of rain, but it doesn't have to be that it actually cracked open. And he quotes a Shari Tshuva in the name of the Mi'il Tzedakah that he talks about where it was a very strong rain, Yom V'layla, 24 hours of straight strong rain, and he says if it's not such strong rain, then it's not going to be machametz unless you see that it cracked open. So Mishabura quotes from the Adam, that's why Noag Macharedim, that people who are very careful have a minag to that all the shmura matzah that they have mishas ketzira is that their coats are the grain dafka while it's still moist. They don't wait till the grain dries out, which I guess is the more ideal time, generally speaking, to be coats of the grain to make flour. They're coats of the grain while it's still moist in order to avoid any possible chashash that it became chametz while it's still mechubar l'karka. So you always wonder, what kind of crazy chumra is that? How could chametz become, That's this Gemara. The Gemara says explicitly that it could happen. Now, Rav Huna ben Yehoshua brings another makar for the idea that truma that's humfresh from chametz on Pesach is not kadosh. See, this first makar that we brought that has this great chiddush that when is truma not going to be when is chametz not going to have kedushas truma on Pesach? That's only if it was something strange case. It's only if it was something that was always chametz. That even from the time you harvested it was chametz. So that's very limiting. So now we're going to suggest a different approach. It says no. Even if it's regular chametz, you cannot. It's not going to have kedusha truma. Rav Huna ben Yehoshua Amar that Amar Kra, the pasuk says Rashis Shashira Nikarin. The reason that you can't have kedushas truma bichal on chametz is that whenever you take truma is what's called Rashis Degancha. Rashis means that there's other stuff that's left over that's not truma. So you need Shashira Nikarin that the shirayim, the rest of it, should be now bichulin. That's mutter for Yisrael. That while it was tevel, it was aser for Yisrael. Now it's no longer tevel. Yisrael is allowed to eat. Yatzazo Shein Shira Nikarin. As opposed to truma that you're mafresh from chametz on Pesach, where even the whatever's left is not going to be okay for Yisrael because it's chametz and it's Pesach, so even Yisrael is not allowed to eat it. So part of the din of hafrashas truma is that you have to be creating chulin that's valuable. See, if it's tameh, you have truma tameh, that wouldn't be a problem because truma tameh ain't a chinami. The Kohen can only use the Truma Temeah in order to use as firewood or to burn or something. But the Shirayim, the Chulin Temeah, that's fine. The Zara is allowed to eat Chulin Tameh. There's no Isra of eating Chulin that's Tameh. There's only an Isra of eating Truma that's Tameh. So you still have Shirayim Nikarin. So according to Rav Huna ben Yehoshua, against Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, any Chametz, whether it's Hichmetz B'Mechubar and never had a Shasa Kosher, whether it's Hichmetz B'Talush and it had a Shasa Kosher, you can't be Mafresh Truma from. So that applies much more broadly. So now the Gemara discusses. So that's that topic. Now the Gemara discusses what seems like a separate topic, but we're going to bring a raya from the Braisa back on Daf Lamed Beis in this discussion. The discussion is going to be about if you have a grape that's tameh, does that mean that the wine that's contained within that grape is also tameh? Meaning, how do we view the wine inside of a grape? Is it part of the grape, or is it like the grape is a kli? It's like a barrel, and there's wine inside the barrel. Just because the barrel has a certain status, it doesn't mean that the wine has that same status. So Yosef Rach Bredi Rav Avi Kamed Rav Chisav Yosef Amr Mishmed Rav Yochanan Anovim Shenitmu of grapes became Tamei Dorkon Pachos Mikabetza. You should press them less than a kabetza at a time. V'yenim Kashal Nesachin, and then the wine that comes out of them is going to be tar. So tar, you could be Menasek Lem Al Gabi Amizbeach, and that you just have to make sure that the grapes are that you handle Pachos Mikabetza at a time because the grapes are Tamei. So if wine comes out and then they immediately touch the tameh grapes, then they're going to become tameh themselves. Ooh, but pachs mikabetza does not have the capacity to transmit tuma. So if you take pachs mikabetza of grapes at a time, say in a chinami, those tameh grapes will touch the wine, but they will not be able to transmit tuma to the wine, because everyone agrees pachs mikabetza cannot transmit tuma. There's machlokas rishonim, can pachs mikabetza of ochlim become tameh themselves? But everyone agrees that they're not able to transmit tuma. So says Mar Alma Kasavra Mashkin Mifkat Pkidi. So it seems very clear that we're holding that the drink, that the liquid within a fruit is considered Mifkat Pkidi, that it's like it's stored up inside of the fruit, but it's an independent entity. It's not considered part of the fruit. So Leimas Kamitamya, when does that Mashkin, when is it at risk of becoming tame? L'chisachadu, only when it comes out of the grape. Well, that's why you're careful to use less than a kabetza of grapes, because when the wine comes out of the grape, it's touching pachs mikabetza of ochlim. Pachs mikabetza of ochlim is not going to become tameh. It's not going to be able to be metame it. So says Mar Iachi kabetza nami. So then you should be able to use a kabetza matzumtzum of grapes also. Take exactly a kabetza of grapes and start squeezing it. Why is that going to help? Because the second the first juices come out, now the grapes are pachs mikabetza, because you've just taken away some of their volume. So as soon as the wine has the capacity to become tameh by touching the grapes are no longer a kabetza. So why do we say that you have to use pachos mikabetza of grapes to squeeze out? Let us use an exact kabetza of grapes. Yachi kabetza nami. That's not tameh meshesach et zesim v'anavim kabetza mechuvenes. If it's exactly a kabetza, tahorin, then they're going to be tar. Even though if you have a tameh mes, l'chora, whatever he's touching, as it, meaning what that case is, the Mishnah in the third Perek HaTaros. It's talking about is let's say you have grapes that were never hukshar lekabel tuma. So the tamei mace by touching those grapes is not making them tamei. They were never hukshar lekabel tuma. What's makshar them lekabel tuma? Yad shachatam, one of the zayin mashkim. One of those zayin mashkim is wine. So the second you squeeze wine out of those grapes, the wine is touching the grapes. Now the grapes are hukshar lekabel tuma, and now from the tamei mace touching them, they can become tamei. Yeah, but if you have exactly a kabetza of grapes, the second he squeezes out that first drop of wine, it should be makshir the grapes to be mekabel tuma, but there's no longer a kabetza of grapes, and therefore the tamei mace that's touching them is not going to be able to be metamei them because it's less than a kabetza of grapes. So says Gemara, no, hasam diavad hachal lechachila. Now over there the Mishnah was talking about that if he did it einachinami, but diavad if you do it with a kabetza of grapes, it's not going to become tamei. But over here lechachila, we're going to tell you to use exactly a kabetza metzumtzum. That seems a little risky. You might come to use a little bit more than a kabetza metzumtzum, and then you're going to come to risk tuma. So gzera dilmasi lemavid yoser mikabetza. We're afraid that if we tell you to use exactly a kabetza, you might use more than a kabetza, and that would be problematic. So amalei Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says Rav Acha bar Rav Avya. Man says l'chol Rabbi Yochanan Rabcha, who's going to listen to you and your Rabbi Yochanan to say that wine that's squeezed in such a way is tar? Meaning, you're going to tell somebody that they take tamei grapes and the wine that tamei grapes produces is tar? Where did the tumma disappear to? The grapes were tamei, and now all of a sudden the tumma just disappears? So what's he trying to say? Alma kasavra mashkin mivla bli'i. It's a fundamental comment that he's making. It's that he views the wine inside the grape as part of the grape. So the entire time that the grape was tamei, the wine contained therein was tamei also. So by squeezing it out, it doesn't become tar, it stays tamei. V'kimen di itamale ochla itamale mashkin. When the grapes are tamei, the mashkin inside of the grapes are tamei. So that's the fundamental dispute. How do we view the wine inside of the grapes? Is it independent and therefore just because the grapes are tamei, the wine could still be tar? Or do we say no, that it's part of the food, and therefore if the food is tamei, the wine is tamei as well? So Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Avi says back to Rav Chista, do you not hold the mashkin nifkat p'kidi? Do you not hold that the mashkin is just stored inside of the grape, but it's not actually part of the grape? But doesn't the Mishnah tell us tamei meis shesachat zeisim anav mechuvedes v'kabetza tarin? That if you have a tamei meis, the same Mishnah we just quoted, you have a tamei meis that is sochet exactly a kabetza of grapes, the grapes are going to be tahar. Well, iam pishlam mifkat pkidi. I understand very well if you view the grape and the wine contained therein as an independent entity, mishumachi tahrin. That's why it's going to be tahar, because the only time it was eligible for tumah is when it was hukshal lekabel tumah, which is after some wine came out. But as soon as some wine came out, it became pachas mikabetza, so it couldn't become tameh. But if you hold that it's all one entity, why should the wine that you squeeze out or the shemen that you squeeze out from olives be taurin? What does it help that you squeeze it out when from a kabetza mechuvenes it became tamei when it was still inside the zeisim v'anavim, when the tamei mace touched the zeisim v'anavim? So it says no, we're talking over here where the grapes never became mukshar lekabel tuma le'emas miskashri. When could they have become mukshar lekabel tuma? L'chisakalu, only when you squeezed out some of the juices. Chisakalu batzle shiura, but as soon as you squeeze out some of the juices, then it's pachas mikabetza. Meaning, we're not saying that a kabetza of grapes does not become tamei from a tamei mace touching them because a kabetza of grapes is really pachas mikabetza because some of it is wine. No, that's not what we're saying. A kabetza of grapes is grapes. If there's no wine, it's a full kabetza, so it can become tamei if it were hukshar lekabel tuma previously. But we're talking in that Mishnah of a case where it was not previously hukshar lekabel tuma. It's only becoming hukshar lekabel tuma from the first drop that comes out of it. And that first drop that comes out of it also brings it below kabetza. So once it brings it below a kabetza, it's not going to be able to become tamei. Now this, seems to be a very clear raya, one way in that machlokas that we referred to before, about what it is about the sheer kabetza as far as tuma is concerned. We said everybody agrees that when something is a food, it's possibly kabetza cannot transmit tuma to something else. But machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, can food that's possibly kabetza become tamei? So Rashi writes that ochel that becomes tamei can become tamei even if it's pachas mikabetza. So Tos points out that's directly against this sugya, right? Because what's the Gemara assuming? That these grapes will not become tamei. Why? Because the second the first drop comes out of them to be machshir them lekabel tuma, they are pachas mikabetza. And when the grapes are pachas mikabetza, they can't become tamei. Rashi will say, yes, they can. They just can't transmit tumah to something else, but they can become tame when they're pachas mikabetza. So that's what Tosa says, that you see a clear raya from this Gemara that food that's pachas mikabetza has the capacity to become tame, just doesn't have the capacity to transmit tumah to. I'm sorry, that food that's pachas mikabetza does not even have the capacity to become tame, let alone transmit tumah to something else. However, Tosa then suggests the name of Harav Rabbeinu Yosef, that an ochal is mekabel tuma even pachas mikabetza, but it's not hukshel mekabel tuma unless mayim came in contact with it, or one of the zayin mashkim came in contact with it when it was a kabetza, and that's why that's the explanation of this line of the Gemara. That's how Rashi is going to learn this line of the Gemara. That in a chinami, food can become tame if it's pachas mikabetza. Why aren't these grapes becoming tame? We're saying as soon as the first drop comes out of them, they're hukshel mekabel tuma, and so they should become tamei right away, even though they're pachas mikabetza. No, you can't have hechshel lekabel tumah on pachas mikabetza. Tumah you can have in pachas mikabetza, but not hechshel lekabel tumah. So that's the way Rashi must learn this sugya. Dilo temahachi. So now Rav Chista brings a raya. The mashkim inside of peros are considered to be a part of the fruit. It's considered to be balua in the fruit. Because if you're not going to say that mashkim shem peros are considered to be a part of the fruit of mekabel tumah while they're still in the peros, we said that if you have trumas of fruits that are not usable as firewood, so if they become tameh, they're useless. They don't have a heter achila, nor do they have a heter asaka, because they're useless as firewood. Ha heter achila nami is fe. Meaning, what do you mean? There's no way to eat. To eat olives that became tame, truma olives that became tame. Sure, there is. If you hold that the olive oil inside the olive is independent of the olive, just take pachas mikabetz of olives at a time, squeeze out the oil. The oil is going to be tar. So there is a way to eat it. How could you say there's no heter achila? So heter achila nami is fe. Di bayi darach lu pachas mikabetz. You can crush the olives less than a kabetza at a time, and the oil that will come out of them is going to be tar. So isn't that therefore a raya that we view the oil inside the olive as part of the olive, and if the olive is tame, the oil is tame as well? So Gemara says, no, not such a great raya. It's just not a good idea. Meaning, what are you going to do? You're going to keep these olives that are tame, that are truma tameya, al smach, that whenever you squeeze out oil from them, you're going to take pachas mikabetza at a time to squeeze out so that the oil will be tahar. So you're going to be taking such a little amount at a time to squeeze out from them. That's going to be asubil de takala. That means you're going to keep around tameh truma olives for a long time. And therefore there's a chashash. You're going to come to eat the truma tameya. You may come to squeeze out more than a kabetz at a time. It's just asking for trouble. So that's why leaving it around for a long time is just a bad idea. Amle Abayis. So Abayis says, wait a second, is that really a chashash? Umi chashinim takala? Are we really choshesh that something's going to be maybe the day takala by leaving around truma tameya for a long time? Vatanya, but we have a brisa that tells us madlikin bepas b'shemen shel truma shenitmeis, that you're allowed to light a fire with pas and shemen of truma that became tameh. So apparently you can leave around tameh truma for a long time because you're not going to use it for eating. You're not going to eat truma tameya, but you'll use it for other things. You'll use it for firewood to light up a fire. So apparently we're not worried about takala. So malay pas zarek lebeinei etzim. No, there's a way to make sure that the pas is not going to be maybe the takala, because if you have pas, you could throw it among the firewood, and therefore no one's ever going to eat it. You're going to be afraid of getting splinters in your mouth, right? So you're not going to eat that bread anymore. So there's no chashash takala if you make it inedible right away. You're zorek bena eitzim, and the only thing you would use it for is firewood afterwards. And shemen shel truma remi libekli matlus. And if you have shemen shel truma tameya, I don't have to be afraid that you're going to drink it. Just put it in a kli that will make it disgusting to drink. That the only thing it will be viable to use for is to put inside of your ner, and therefore you're not going to have to worry that it's also the day takala. But when it comes to yayin, you're going to keep yayin shel truma around. You can keep olives, whole olives of truma around. That's going to be maybe the day takala, because even though you may come up with some mutter way to use it, in the meantime it's usable also by eating, and you might come to eat it. If you recall, we had this back on Daf Chaf. The Gemara Gemara discussed. Why not keep yayin of truma around for ziluf, that you could sprinkle it on the floor and give a nice fragrant aroma to the room that you're in by sprinkling it on the floor? The Gemara said, no, because it's going to be asil de takala. You're going to keep the wine around. It's truma tamei. You're going to ultimately drink it. Says Gemara, why don't you just put it in a dirty kli, just like you put the shemen shel truma in a dirty kli? So the Gemara said, no, the wine, once you put it in a dirty kli, is not going to be good for ziluf anymore. The only way to make it viable for that use is if you had it in a clean kli. So that's the issue of asil de takala. We're going to discuss asil de takala a little bit more tomorrow. Just one thing that comes out of this, you have this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Chista about the geder of mashke that's inside of a pri, where Rabbi Yochanan assumes that it's considered to be mufkad in the pri, it's separate, it's an independent entity inside of the pri, whereas Rav Chista assumes that it's considered to be muvla and part of the kli. How do we paskin? We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that's considered mufkad betocha pri, and based on that, there's a discussion in poskim about being poda meiser sheni on sugar. There's a fascinating discussion in poskim in the Sefer Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chaim Michael Tukhachinsky and the Sefer Yerach Kodesh VaMikdash, they discuss being mechal meiser sheni of peiros and how to get rid of it. And they write that Gedolei Yerushalayim used to paskin to be mechal meiser sheni on sugar, or because sugar is also a pri, and then to dissolve the sugar in water and then to spill out the water, and that was the best way to get rid of it in a way that's not going to be a violation. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that the reason that they would be mechalal on sugar and not on lechem is, even though it's easier to crush up lechem and throw it into the wind or something, is because they were choshish not to be mechalal on a pri that was hukshol lekabel tumah and then became tameh. Sugar, you could be sure, was not hukshol lekabel tumah because it would have dissolved if it ever came into contact with liquid, or it would have clumped. If you have sugar, that's so you know it was not hukshol lekabel tumah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that even though the sugar cane that they make the sugar from certainly was rinsed off first, but just because it was rinsed off, it doesn't mean that that which was inside the pri became hukshol lekabel tumah, because they're independent entities. There's the pri itself, and then there's that which is inside of the pri, and that's based on this gemara over here, that that which is inside of the pri, the mashkim inside of a pri, is not the same thing as the pri itself. We paskin is considered to be mifkat pocket inside of the pri. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll continue the discussion of takala tomorrow on the bottom of 11 days.